Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, those things we didn't get to during the course of the show today, including some audio that I wanted to play. I wanted to play this yesterday, and I didn't get to it. Every year, the Washington Correspondents' Dinner happens with the president, and it's all the news people in a room, and they have speakers, and it's kind of a roast, which I thought was really funny. They hired Colin Jost this year from SNL, who Betty Rock, you love.
Oh, the guy that does the news, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guess you don't love him that much.
But, I didn't know his name, but yeah.
And Michael Che, you know, and so they have Colin there.
The roundup.
And, yeah, and so he does, I think it would have been funny if they had done that bit where they each write really offensive jokes for the other one. Mm. That would have been funny at this thing. But I think Colin Jost did a good job with this.
I was excited to be up here on stage with President Biden tonight, mostly to see if I could figure out where Obama was pulling the strings from. I have to admit, it's not easy following President Biden. I mean, it's not always easy following what he's saying. Like, but before I begin tonight, can we just acknowledge how refreshing it is to see a president of the United States at an event that doesn't begin with a bailiff saying, "All rise."
It's funny because, I mean, that's a solid joke. But the funny thing about it is if you just kept beating on Biden, it seems like you're picking on an old man in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And so he's got to go to the tried and true, take out Trump. And he knows the room. He's playing to the room. The room is a bunch of news people who all don't like Trump. And they're going and they're like, yeah, that's really funny, you know, because he could have definitely gone on more about following. But he might have in another clip, a longer clip, following Biden like around the stage.
It should tell us something, though, that we make jokes about a guy who can barely get himself to the podium, is barely coherent half the time,
there
and is in
so
the most important job in the country.
Many things that when I see it, I'm like, this has to be taken out of context of Biden. This can't be real. It's got to be a deep fake. And when I first see the clip, and then I go and I research it, and I find it like, oh, no. Like, he really did say that. I believe in my soul that he is suffering from, like, dementia. And, like, you have moments of complete clarity with dementia. And there's moments where he seems totally coherent and clear. And then there are other times where, like, I don't know if he knows where he's at, you know, honestly. And I think that's just an age thing. And if that's the case, I feel bad for him. It's a horrible way. It's a horrible life. I talked to a relative of mine that his wife is in dementia care, you know, and it's really hard. It's like one of the worst, like, I think, diseases for people that have been married for a long time. To watch that person drift away and they don't recognize you anymore, you know? And so I thought Colin did a good job with that. Did you guys see, and Gavin, you probably know this, that the Kansas City Chiefs re-signed Travis Kelce to a new deal?
They did. They also theoretically signed Taylor Swift to a new contract as well.
You know that's why they did this, too. Mm-hmm. They gave him $34.25 million. He's the highest paid tight end in the NFL.
Deservedly so.
Yeah, he's a good player.
From a value standpoint, we know Betty doesn't love the numbers that go into professional sports, but he's the best at the position, and he deserves that money from a career standpoint.
So he signs $34 million deal, to which Taylor said, oh, that's cute. You're making your own money now. That's great. And maybe you can take us for ice cream. Because for her, $34 million is like nothing.
Yeah,
she makes
night.
That in a couple shows. Yeah, literally, she would make his whole two-year salary in probably four shows. Probably even less than that. Because her Eras tour was worth over $1 billion. Her net worth went through the roof on that tour.
I do wonder when they go out for a meal, when the check comes.
Yeah.
And who's getting that thing?
I mean, he has to. He's still a multimillionaire. Like, he's not broke.
No.
So even if they go out to, I wonder what a dinner for rich people is like, just two of you. Like, when you go to dinner with a group of people, that bill can run up to $2,000 easy, you know, with a group of people. But, like, let's say you go to dinner with just two people. I mean, how much can you really charge for a steak? Even at a nice steakhouse, $100, you know, maybe more than that, maybe $300, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So what if two rich people, I guess if you have a bottle of wine, that could be like hundreds and hundreds or thousands of dollars. So let's just say you order a soda. Let's say you get a Coke and a potato on the side and a steak. Like, that theoretically should not set you back a grip of cash.
Shouldn't.
If you're rich. I mean, $500 max. You know, which is crazy for a meal.
And it's not going to be much to them. To them, that's, no. that's a $50 meal compared to for us.
And I would think that Travis Kelce was raised to be a gentleman and like to always pay. But yeah, when she makes, like she can buy and sell you, that would be really weird.
He's got to be counting the days down to, you know, when he proposes.
Yeah.
He's like, and you know, like everything that's mine is yours and everything that's yours
is mine. Yeah, you know there'll be a prenup on that one if that if it gets that far. He was smart though too, because didn't he do like a friendship bracelet like when they first met? Like something kitschy.
Yeah, he passed it on because I don't think he got to meet her.
Yeah,
she was,
he passed
she's
it on.
Vocal rest. Yeah, so
he to did get it, her attention.
He did it cute.
But after that, like, how do you buy her gifts? You would have to really hone in on what she likes and to know her and not be buying extravagant things. I just bought you a Bugatti. You know, you would have to like literally do
more
things
thoughtful gifts
exactly that don't cost a lot of money but speak to like. Her heart, because I mean, we all know she's very sensitive, and she wants to be romanced, and she wants, she loves love, and she wants to be wooed, and so you could do that on a budget, and I think if you're a millionaire, like it probably would be seen as cute instead of trying to just buy each other stuff you don't need. I run into that too, even with my wife, and we're by no means millionaires, but like you've been married for so long, you have. Most of the things you need. And like when Christmas rolls around, we just, you know, we're buying each other stuff that, yeah, you kind of want, but like, yeah, you don't really need it. You know, I'm looking forward to the day when there's, and my wife would do this tomorrow. This is a hang up for me when there's less gifts, like at Christmas and things like that. Like I'm the one that has the hang up. My wife could easily go, yeah, let's not do anything. Let's do a trip or, you know, let's each get each other one thing and be fine. Mm-hmm. And I always say that. And then I don't live by it. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, okay, we'll do 3 gifts. And then I'm 13 gifts later. And I don't know why.
And then getting frustrated and anxious. And,
I know. Yeah. It drives me nuts. Yeah. I get really nervous
and you
around.
You have yourself to blame.
Yeah. I'm nervous for Betty's birthday. Coming up.
Oh, snap.
And so, yeah. Oh, snap is right. Thursday.
You got a lot going on, Gavin. Don't worry about it.
I have an idea, Gavin, you could go in on with me and it won't cost you much money. Cause I know you've been writing checks like the government, lately.
Can we talk a little bit about that? Cause I'm sure our parties want to know, sure. like, take us through the whole process. Is that okay with you?
About your birthday?
No. Oh. About his accident that he had.
We'll do that next week.
Didn't it feel like that? It felt like, can we talk about my birthday for a minute?
No,
let's just walk through all of it.
I want a preview of what's happening.
Yeah. So, yeah, if we want to talk about this for sure.
So you want me to stay where?
Just start from the beginning.
Okay.
And tell our potty.
How scared were you?
Terrified.
Scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, 10.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no, what's higher than 10. We were driving up because our friends had a kid and we were just going to go see them for a little bit just to meet them. It's the cutest kid in the world and it would have been awesome. But then we were a little bit past Hopkinsville.
How far is that drive for you then? Are you
2 hours
in?
Okay. So the drive is 2 hours. We were about an hour
in.
We were probably about 45 minutes out.
Okay.
And so we had come up to a place where traffic had stalled. And so we had stopped the car, we're going to put the hazards on just as a precautionary measure. And then all of a sudden, you are just slammed from behind. And then we're on our side.
And you think you were hit full force. Like, you never heard brakes.
That's what people who were involved in just seeing everything, that's what they said, was that they just didn't see her look. Or they didn't see her slow down. They said that she had said
she was texting
that she was looking down.
Oh,
doing whatever. Yeah.
Was she younger, older?
I have no idea.
Okay, so you had no interaction with them.
No interaction with her. I didn't see her. I saw that she was on like a board and that she was getting looked at. I knew it was she. I knew it was just one person, and that's all that I ever saw.
I saw the picture you sent of your car bashed and flipped on its side, and I saw the picture.
You can see that too on our socials if you search Wally Show.
Oh, good. And I saw the picture of her car, and I had no idea. You told me it was a Jeep. I'm like, what? Like, the whole front is just gone.
Yeah,
like, she
massacred.
Rammed into you guys so hard. So you get that massive jolt, which I'm sure in the split second, you're like, what just happened? You don't really fully realize, but then all of a sudden you're on your side like a NASCAR driver.
We're on our side, and then eventually you have people who are helping us get out. We're like unbuckling ourselves, getting out.
Was that awkward for you? Like, you try not to step on your wife because you're on the top and gravity, like, she's just laying on the side. Like, she's got the easy part. You're trying to keep yourself from falling on her and your unborn child.
So that's inherently scary. The initial thought is just like, let's get out of this thing.
Sure.
So we had people who, I think it was the people who were in the truck in front of us, who we got pushed into, but they didn't have serious damage to their car.
Right.
And so I think that these were the guys, like two guys from that truck came out, had gotten up, we unlocked the door, which it wasn't damaged enough, so they were able to pull that door open.
Nice.
And so they helped get us out, get us to the side of the road.
Scale of 1 to 10, how awkward was it climbing down the side of your car? Like, I could see that being really difficult.
I was on top, and I had the guy, like, literally, put my arm around his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he kind of, like, hoist me down.
Big, strong man.
Both are, I was...
An angel.
Yes, my man. But then we both, like, walked to the side.
If you were on the scene, Wally, you'd be, like, jumping, your little legs flailing. Yeah. You're like, I'm coming!
All right, here's what we're going to do.
I can't get up there.
Yeah, here's what we're going to do. I cannot lift you. I cannot lower you down. I do not have the upper body strength.
My shoulder hurts.
I'm just going to push you at that point.
That would have been great. But it was... I mean, I've been telling people that, like, the thing that's hard, too, is that, you know, we're walking away from this, and in that zone when we're just going over to the side of the road, there wasn't any initial, like, pain per se. Like, in the moment,
your body,
I think,
is the adrenaline,
the adrenaline
and stuff,
is just working overtime.
Now you know how soldiers feel.
Sure. I would. Literally said that at the hospital at one point, because I was literally, I walked from a recliner to the bathroom. I'm like, I couldn't go to war. There's no world where I can do this.
I've thought about those guys, like, and what they go through and how bad it is and terrifying and brutal. And then I thought of, like, I've hit my knee somewhere before and wanted to lose my mind. I would be that guy that's running into a firefight and I'd hit my knee on a rock and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm hit, I'm down, medic!
Totally.
I know. I wouldn't even be engaged in the fight. They would be hauling me off on a stretcher because I bumped my knee.
No, you'd hit your knee and then they'd be like, oh, perfect target.
Yeah.
He's down, easy target.
Oh gosh. Okay, so you get out, the man helps you out.
Yeah.
Now Haley is still in the car.
She's in the car.
Is she crying? Is she screaming?
Nobody was crying.
Oh, yeah. The worst part of this story is you're on the phone with her mom.
Yeah, so we were on the phone with her mom.
When the wreck happened.
When the wreck happened. So she heard the
sound.
Crash.
And then she's got to be just instantly worried about her daughter,
exactly.
Baby, and you.
And so,
probably in that order.
Let's go baby daughter.
Baby daughter, you.
Baby daughter,
yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
I'm last either way.
100%.
But we... get all out, and then I call, we called 911. I was bummed. I'm like, why did we have to call? I had to call the 911 for ourselves.
That's weird. I would have thought one of the bystanders
would've. Totally would have thought that. And then, so I think I called her. I think I called her mom first to say that we were out of the car.
Did the call get disconnected in hit?
I guess so.
Yeah.
We weren't on an active call.
I've had fears of that with Haley, like something going wrong while I'm on the phone with her and I can't get to her.
Worst case scenario right there.
Yeah, like you hear like someone being abducted or something like that, like, oh,
like
my
Liam
gosh.
Neeson.
Yes,
Lost,
exactly, or, like that, Taken.
Taken.
Exactly like that.
But then, what is it? Because my phone was in the car.
Yeah, because I texted you.
You texted me about an hour after.
Yeah, because I had
fascinating.
I had a pastor that was coming. Your pastor is also friends with the campus pastor, the ministry pastor who I'm in a small group with, and he's like, hey, did you hear? And he's giving me updates on you, and so I text you, and I'm like, so I don't hear anything back from you, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, I hope he's okay, and then find out that your phone was just in the car, and you had to go back and get it later.
Yeah, and so, you know, doing all these calls, and then we got in an ambulance, taken to the hospital, checked out, everything good, and then our pastor and my buddy came up and
nice
got us. Super nice. They were there super quickly. And then we leave the hospital. We go get Cracker Barrel.
Love
as
that.
A little bit of comfort food.
Love that.
I will be honest. I don't think either of us had like much of an appetite.
Oh, really? Okay. Now, did it mess with you? Like, this is what I'm curious about. Like, you go through something and one or two things happen. You're like, oh, I'm so thankful to be alive, and this is great. I smell things better than they smelled earlier. I see things differently. Life is great. Or you come out of it fearful, you know? Like, so which is it for you?
I lean more towards that.
Fearful?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm grateful and thankful, but Like it's messing with my head more than Haley's in what right way? Now.
Well, she's stronger.
I think. Yeah, I know. We all know. I don't know. It's stress about the like what happens next. It was definitely more about it feeling. You sit there and you do kind of feel like, ugh, that's like that, like this stinks. And I like just wish it hadn't happened.
Oh, sure. Yeah. If we had just left the house 10 minutes later.
I did a lot of that thinking.
Yeah. You will drive yourself nuts with that. You cannot do that because, you know, it is what it is at this point, you know. And are you fearful of like it like driving and it happened and being in an accident again? Like, is that in your head?
Okay. I think that's in my head. So like driving's not a ton of fun. And then.
Do you still think about like the other thing that happened to you guys a while ago? Like your house? Do you still think about that at all? I forgot if we talked about this or not, so I didn't want to say it.
Oh, no, no, I don't think about that.
Okay, so my point is that would have been a traumatic thing.
Yeah.
And so you move past that.
Yeah.
I think that would be more traumatic, honestly.
I think that this one, I think this will take a minute and it's fine. Because I was telling Haley that we're talking about how we're processing this and that she likes to talk, like she's talking about it. And with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't love talking about it too much. I think it's a good thing to talk about, but I don't enjoy the conversation and just like re-explaining it per se, which again, it's just a thing that I think is a good thing to do, but I don't love doing it. But I told her that I think I'll feel a lot better when things get wrapped up, like insurance wise, start moving forward on like getting our next car and all of these things.
Because right now it's a giant inconvenience. Like you survived, which is glorious. Like that the picture, I could not believe how bad that was. And when Eric told me, oh, your car went on its side, even trying to picture that, I'm like, really? And then when I see it, like, oh, snap.
Yeah, most people who saw the photo end up saying that it's a lot worse than you would expect.
Yeah. Because
if you just heard rear-ended, people would probably be just like, ah, that's
fender bender.
That
happens.
Totally stinks.
Yeah.
But this is a car that is gone. Like it is totaled.
Yeah.
It was so interesting because we went back to the towing yard to get our stuff out of it. And it was just insane because the only real loss in the scenario were my glasses. And I got
that's right. You got your old ones on.
These are a backup pair.
But was that a loss really? Because I don't know if that was the best choice. So no.
My prescription hadn't actually changed.
Yeah.
So these are like I'm not wearing an old prescription. I'm just wearing an old frame.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
I didn't change my glasses this time because I went and I looked for glasses and my prescription hadn't changed like very minuscule. And then when it was going to be $400, $390 for glasses, whatever, I'm like, well, my prescription didn't change. That's stupid. Why am I going to change? I've only had them a year. I'm not spending that. That's crazy.
No. Is when you went back to the lot or whatever? Is that when you got your phone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I had gone back, and it was funny because when we were next to the car, I knew my phone was in there, and there's just like that dumb part of me that was like, I really kind of want to get that.
I would definitely have wanted to get that. Like I would have been like, I got to get my phone. Do you have a child in there?
You,
no.
You would have been getting it at the scene.
Oh, 100%.
You wouldn't have even waited as long as Gavin.
It would have required getting in back into the car.
Sure.
That wasn't going to happen.
I would have got my phone before I got Marty out of the car.
Oh my gosh. Okay. But your phone was okay.
So again, glasses, only thing lost. Work
That's
laptop.
Crazy.
Suitcase had a broken handle. Who cares? Like all this good stuff. My favorite part was that I had the phone and then we got back in the car to head home. And then my phone, I hear like in 3 miles, take exit this or that. And I'm like, my GPS had never
still
even
worked.
Turned off.
That's
so
great.
I picture them towing the car and my GPS just shouting in the car the whole time. I mean, that was a good laugh.
Wow. Yeah. Dadgum, that is crazy. Like, and from the spiritual side of this, we were kind of talking about this morning before the show. It's like, because I have this thing where we've talked about this on the show before about like traveling mercies and everyone goes, just please give traveling mercies and protect us as we travel. And I've always been like, well, what's going to happen is going to happen. I don't think me sitting in a circle with someone just throwing up a generic traveling mercies prayer makes a difference, you know? But when you look at something like this and you're like, it seems like even though this... Because you could make the argument, well, traveling mercies, I was almost killed. I was in a horrible accident, you know. But traveling mercies, the perspective, the justification is that, well, God kept me from getting hurt.
Yeah, mercy in this scenario is life
right.
versus you know, nothing happening.
Right, exactly.
I'll choose the mercy of nothing happening over
right.
I'm grateful to be alive every time, because you never want to have to be in a scenario where you're grateful to
yeah.
be alive because you could have
died. Yeah, because you could make the case that, okay, well, you know, traveling mercies, you're alive, or, well, if there were really traveling mercies, you wouldn't have been in an accident yeah. to begin with, and something would have circumvented it. Like getting
shades
into the
of mercy.
Yeah, getting into the spiritual stuff. I'm really having a harder time with this now than ever before in my own faith of trying to assign when God is involved and when he is not in things. And I just don't think you can ever truly know, you yeah. know, but if I was going to make a case, this would be one for his involvement
yeah.
because looking at that picture, you should have been damaged yeah. somehow.
I think that, you know, when I think of the spiritual side of it, I will assign anything that is good to God, because goodness does come from God,
right.
and it's good that we are alive, and good that, like, our baby's alive, and all
yeah.
of these things.
Yeah.
And so that goodness I assign to him, and I thank him for the goodness in that scenario, and he deserves all of that credit. But yeah, I didn't go through that in my head going, oh man, like I saw God like stopping the back
right,
of our car
right,
from
right.
hitting us and all
right.
of this. Like, I don't take that and go like that impacts my faith. Like, that doesn't impact my faith. I'm grateful because God is good regardless of what happened, and he's good regardless of what happens moving forward.
Right. I think that's the turning point for people, when you can say God is good in the bad,
mm-hmm.
you know, and believe it and, you know, share that with people. But it's a tricky thing. Yes, ma'am.
Do you know anything, if the other girl that hit you, did she have injuries or no?
So I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened to her from an injury. Again, I saw her on a board and I saw them putting something on her neck. She would
have been complaining about her neck if they did that.
I have a feeling that she probably was rocked. I have a feeling because of where she hit us that her airbags would have deployed.
Because you have the whole crumple of the whole back and the second row of your car and everything like that. She's got engine and face,
yeah.
you know.
So I don't know. My guess is that she probably got hurt.
Yeah.
But it seemed like nobody was saying – it didn't seem like anybody on the scene was reacting as if anybody had something
major
happen.
Yeah.
And that was the
there
kind
was
of
no
thing.
There was no life flight.
When you're telling people what happens, you know, the text has to say that that – hey, this happened, nothing major.
Yeah.
And like, we're still both in a lot of pain.
Sure.
But that was the thing. And the ambulance, which I don't ever want to have to do that again. They ask you.
Did they let you turn the sirens on?
I wish. No, we didn't. It wasn't even a major enough measure.
They didn't turn the sirens on?
They didn't turn the sirens on when we were going to the hospital.
I hope they don't charge you a siren fee then, because you got to watch
siren
the bill.
Fee.
They're like, yeah, there's a siren fee. You did not use sirens.
But they asked us the question, like, okay, like, you know, how's the pain? 0 to 10, 10 being your legs are chopped off. I'm like, that's pretty bad.
I've never had that before. I don't even know what that feels like.
That makes me feel like I have to go pretty low here.
Yeah, legs being chopped off, like my back hurts. I'm going to go too?
Like, my chest kind of hurts. And
yeah.
they're like, yeah, your blood pressure's pretty high and your heart rate's high and all that. I'm like, yeah, that all makes total sense right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with like a 4. Like,
okay.
nothing's crazy. But that was my favorite question. I will say that I give a lot of credit to any and everybody that we did interact with on that day, whether it was the people that helped us get out of the car, to the EMTs, to the first responders, to the state troopers, to the medical people at the, like, they were all super nice,
great,
super kind, and helped the process feel calmer because our brains are running a million miles an hour, but these people were professionals.
Yeah.
And so,
well, that's good.
Not amateurs.
Awesome. Well, that's good. Well, we're glad you're okay. And I know it's going to be a frustrating couple of weeks trying to get that stuff worked out for sure. Lady Rock, what do you got?
I do have one.
Okay.
This is Miriam to her mother, Nicole. Nicole is celebrating a birthday today.
Happy birthday, Nicole.
Happy birthday!
Yay! Miriam to her mother. So, Mom Nicole, happy birthday. Doesn't say how old she is.
No, it doesn't. Maybe Nicole doesn't want to.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Let everyone know.
Yeah, everybody's different about birthdays. My wife and I were talking about this yesterday on our drive home, and she's like, I don't think I've ever really had a birthday mess with me. And I said, I had one. I said, when I turned 50, my 50 to 51 year was a little weird. Mm. You know, like
You said 50 to 51?
Yeah, that whole year.
Not 49. Oh, okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Once I turned it, like I felt like, I told her, I said, I'm closer to death now than I am. Like, wow. But she was like, that's dramatic. I said, no, think about it. I'm not going to live to be 100. So, like, even if I live to be 90, that's only 40 more years. That's still closer than what I've lived on this earth. It's still less time. And so I said, I think that kind of messed with me a little bit, you know? And so I get how birthdays play with people in different ways, for sure. And speaking of which, your birthday going to be Thursday. Yeah. We're only going to do it on the aftercast because we have support drive the next day. And I've asked Betty, how would you like to celebrate your birthday? And this is what you have chosen.
Yeah, we're going to do a little something on the aftercast Thursday because then we have support drive starting on Friday and then my birthday is on Sunday.
No games, just presents and just loving on Miss Rock. And and I'm 100% good with that.
Wait, did you say no presents?
No, no games.
Oh, okay.
Presents. I've already been to Bucky's. We're good.
Okay.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, that's going to have to do it for our aftercast for today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.